UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination, online at bluegrasskarting.com.
When the Bats return home on Sunday, you'll only have one more chance at some of the city's best entertainment value. August 26th is the final Margarita Monday. Frozen or on the rocks, $3. August 27th is the final Tuesday Dollar Day. $1 hot dogs, soda, chips, and popcorn. The final Whiskey Wednesday is August 28th. And oh my, the final Thirsty Thursday is August 29th. With $2 Bud and Bud Lights from 5:30 to 8:30. Plan now. It's BatsBaseball.com for details.
UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $14 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588.
On the V Show with Bob Valvano on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Bobby V.
Thanks for being with us. Some texts to kind of catch up on what we've covered so far during the course of the show. Something as silly as game show hosts, although I did know this, two of the more successful game show hosts in the history of television game shows, back in the glory days of the game shows, were Tom Kennedy and Jack Nahrs. And they both, I'm told, were from here in Louisville, brothers, and they may have gone to St. X, Steve says. I don't know. I didn't know about the St. X part, but I did know they were from Louisville. So Louisville, the home of two legendary game show hosts. Was it Tom Kennedy and Jack Nahrs, or was it the guy who hosted the dating game, Jim Lang? I thought they were related. I don't know. But anyway, I did know Tom Kennedy was from here in Louisville. So there you go. That website, I think it's still up. It was some college guy who did a study on it. It was the list of game shows, and he did them. Maybe he's Canadian, I don't know, but it was a list of game shows, and he had a list of TV game shows in America and then in Canada, which was rather remarkable. But it was it's not a Wikipedia thing. It was a website, and let's see if I could find the darn thing. But it was very, very cool because you have no idea how many there are. It's uncanny how many were. This game shows for people of a certain age, the millennials perhaps, may have already gone by the boards by the time you became aware of daytime television. You know, there were a million channels, and they may have gone by the boards. But back in the day when there were only really the three networks and some local independent channels, all of them were in a heated game show during the day list battle. So this is it. List of English language game shows, and then list of Canadian game shows. And it's uncanny how long it is. I mean, so many of them I've never even heard of. But anyway, it was a big industry for a while, and I know Louisville's got its presence there. So there you go, with one of the legendary hosts, Tom Kennedy, hosted a whole bunch of very big games. The guy says game shows are making a huge comeback. So is that true? I mean, the one with the guy who's married to the pretty blonde, that narrows it right down. Dax Shepard, isn't that his name? Dax Shepard is married to Kristen Bell. The one with the giant wheel with the ball that bounces, that's clever. That's a good game.
Is it roulette? I don't know.
It's a big
the wall. I mean, I remember the wall. That one was good.
Is that what it's called?
With Chris, his dad was a bowler from here.
Yeah,
Chris.
That's right. That's another guy who was I could see him.
Chris Hatfield?
No, it's not Hatfield. No, you should never have said that. Now it's going to be stuck in my head. It was.
Yeah, that's a Twitter follow. That was the Scott Reynolds guy.
Though his father was a tremendous, one of the all-time great bowlers.
Chris Hardwick.
Hardwick, that's it. Billy Hardwick. Hardwick with a D. Billy Hardwick, thank you. So, very nice. The guy says there are game shows. The game shows now, they're doing a big, elaborate evening production numbers that, like, there's only one contestant for the whole hour. These were a little bit more modest shows. Game shows like Password, Concentration, Match Game. The two that are on during the day that are still, I guess, staples now on CBS, the new Let's Make a Deal, and of course Price is Right, which is still going strong amazingly. So there you go.
ABC, they do a Summer of Fun and Games or whatever, and they do all those different games. They do that crazy, I think it's them, they do the crazy mini golf
big
TV
elaborate sets, or you know, game
TV
action
game
games
is pretty chill. It's like four stars.
See, I've never seen
Jane
that.
Lynch hosts it.
Oh, I like that.
And it's like they've had some. I think Alec Baldwin was on it. Like, it's
nice.
Like, low key. Like, they have some decent sized celebrities, but it's so chill. Like, it might be like an A lister next to a B lister next to a B pluser next to a C lister, but they're all like having fun, having a good time.
So anyway, so there's that. Lots of comments on the discussion in the last part of the. Is that what's called Spin the Wheel? Is that what the game is called?
I'm not sure.
It's a very, very clever. I mean, whoever invented it came up. It's a very clever premise. As a guy who has modestly invented some games. By the way, tell the people how good my solitaire game I invented is.
Well, that is really good.
Yep.
That is really good. You should do a video of how to play.
How to play. It's hard to. I want to figure out how I can write it in rules that people are going to understand. Yeah, it's called Spin the Wheel. Executive produced by Justin Timberlake, hosted by Dax Shepard. You know, it's one of those things. A chance to win $20 million per episode, the odds on that are excruciatingly stacked against the contestant. But it's a tremendously entertaining game, watching the ball bouncing around that wheel, and you increase your chances of winning by getting certain questions right. And I love it because everything that you have to do to play the game is rooted in the person at home kind of. That's what a good game show is, the person at home, for lack of a better word, playing along, saying, what would I do there? Would I answer? Would I make this worth more or worth less? Would I do that? Very, 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 very clever. So it's a quality game, whoever came up with it. Very, very good. Anyway, the stuff about the stuff going on with the tennis team and as I said, I've only met Rex a handful of times. For the players, didn't like playing for him. I'm sorry. Not everybody likes playing for every coach. I'm glad they're paying him through the end of his contract. That's good, at least. I know how painful it is for him, even if he's getting paid. Trust me. I hope, Rex, you can hang in there and find another place to coach if you want to, because I certainly don't think you're bad for the game or bad for the kids. This was just a bad situation here. And I do think you have to learn something from this. I know I did when I went through a bad experience. But having said that, to me, the reason there's so much meat on the bone for people listening and calling and texting, we're getting the ticker tape of texts, is because it really speaks to a broader topic, which is the modern athlete, the role of the modern athlete and the role of the modern coach. And I get it. Everybody's telling me you can't relate. No, I get it. It is not the 1940s or 60s or 80s or aughts or even, 10 years ago. It is what it is. It's 2019. But my point was, and I contend, and I still do contend, that while the form of the things that you're discussing changes, the topics themselves don't change. How you deal with disgruntled players, how you manage guys who are hurt, how you motivate, all those things. The forms may take different. And there are some things that have universally been wrong. I don't think anybody would agree you should be able to punch players, or I'm being exaggerating to make a point, or, you know, or tell kids, hey, we don't care if you go to class or not. Nobody's suggesting, or just let the inmates run the asylum, do anything they want. But in the middle is that area where the line changes a bit. And I think it's a true testament to – somebody once told me that one of the best things a basketball coach does, in the simplest terms, is tell everybody on his team – so that person knows without question what you as the coach consider is a good shot for that player. And so when that player plays, if that shot comes up for him, he can take it without looking over his shoulder, and he knows that, you know, that you're behind him, that's a good shot. So to that extent, maybe there is some of that in this, which is whatever the administration is, from the president on down, the athletic director, they let their coaches know this is the band in which we expect you to operate. It's not that easy, though, because every sport has a different way of doing business. There's no question. I said one of the things that was, and one of the things I lament about youth sports being asked to specialize at such an early age, is problem solving is radically different in each sport. And so when I played soccer, the way that the players communicated with each other was vastly different than they do in basketball. And because of that, the way you attacked problems was very different. Golf was the same thing. It was because it's much more of an individual game, but you're still a team, and how you communicated with your teammates. And so you learn things from that. And so it's very difficult to make a one size fits all, but you can have a kind of an idea of, with you know, what you consider is okay and what you consider is not. So, you know, it's one of those things that I think that's why it is, because I get texts from people that clearly they're at the either extreme. Not that all the texts are either one or the other, but I'm saying at one extreme, you get people telling me, oh, we're so soft. You know, there's these kids, the athletes today, they're little spoiled brats. Nobody can say anything. Everybody's offended. And then at the other end, which is, oh, you old man, what are you talking about? Who cares what went on in the 60s or 80s? It's a different day now. If you got kids that are, you know, like the guy who wanted a gluten-free meal, you know, maybe he's got whatever that illnesses where you're intolerant of, what's kind of name, what's it called,
celiacs.
But I don't, best of my knowledge, he didn't, but my point is, okay, I understand if you're at either extreme. I'm not advocating either extreme. That's the whole point. To discuss things in the extreme is usually not very difficult. You know, you just go to one end and you plant your feet in the ground and you defend and you take on all comers. And any argument that comes your way, you try and beat back by retrofitting it into your already preconceived notion, which is that this is where you should be. That's every problem is defined because of that. And so you go to one extreme end or the other of the spectrum. I don't think that's practical. B, I don't think it's interesting. And C, I don't think it's truthful, because I don't think that's where the answers lie. The answers lie somewhere more often than not in the middle. So where is that middle? And that is, you know, what we're trying to figure out right now. So, you know, guy said to me, I don't want to get into that one because that's not about Tom Jurich. It wasn't nasty, but I just don't want to get into that whole thing. When did I say this? Best tease ever. I will forever wonder what was so amazing, Bob. Did I say something was amazing and then I didn't follow up on it? I might have. I don't remember what I said.
I'm not sure what that was. Yeah, in reference to, was that in reference to?
So it came in at the beginning of this hour. So must have been during roundtable. Did I say something?
Game shows, maybe. Probably something around game shows.
No, we weren't talking about game shows during the roundtable.
Oh no, I thought you said the beginning of this hour. Oh, okay. Yeah, roundtable was going on.
He was responding to that.
I'm not sure what you guys said there.
This one's an easy one. Bob, do basketball teams keep stats on how often they score out of a timeout? Not only do they do that, the league does. They have the coaches ranked for how efficient they are. You go to the website, the KenPom, that's an easy thing to chart. And so, yeah, they all do that. And Brad Stevens is one of the best at it. His players just love it. And so that's the way you're going to have to win guys over. You know, it's hard. If you haven't played in the league, you start behind the eight ball, a lot of these guys, because they don't think you can bring credibility to the table. So you got to work twice as hard. But he's done that. I think, wasn't it? Lawrence Frank did that to a degree. He's now a front office guy in the NBA. But players, you know, there's a little of, again, we too comfortably paint with a broad brush. And the mindset of players, especially pro players, is that, well, if you didn't play, they're not going to listen to you. Well, that's not entirely true. Even though Derek Anderson was one of the best interviews we had. What a nice guy. I admired him. Congratulations to him on getting inducted into the Kentucky Hall of Fame. And I didn't want to turn it into an argument. But I take issue with one thing he said. He was talking about how, you know, these guys who've never played, I mean, you've got somebody who wants to show you how to score coming off a screen. Who are you going to listen to? You're going to listen to a guy who's come and done that? Well, maybe. It depends. If the guy who's done it is a terrible teacher, then no, I'm going to listen to the guy who can teach it better. And frankly, if the guy can explain it to me in a way that's going to make me a better player, you may demonstrate it better, but that guy may articulate it in a way that connects with me, and I say, oh, okay, now I know what you're talking about. And so, and that's what it's all about. And I think NBA players by nature have only one question that they want answered. Can you make me better? If you can help me be better, I'll listen. I don't care who you are. And that's why I've always contended, you know, all this thought that, well, they'll never take to a woman coach. I think the problem is they don't believe the woman coach can make them better. But, and so that's the, listen, you can't force somebody to make them think that. But if they believe that that person can, and Becky Hammon, I guess, is establishing credibility in that regard, they'll listen. I mean, this is their livelihood. You can, if you get Jack in the Box, who could pop out and give him a tip that's going to make him a better player, they'd be there cranking it. I mean, as they'd be pumping that thing out and making him pop up and show me how to score off a double team. So everybody, I guess, is talking about, you didn't turn my mic off. You had open mic going to commercial, and you said, it's so amazing, and then the commercial hit.
Oh, yeah, that's what it was.
Okay. Yeah. And what I was alluding to was simply this.
Yeah, I said, split second potting you down. I don't want to go inside baseball, but there's a reason I just, yeah.
What
faded you out a split second
and
late, sorry.
And sent me a funny text. We'll get to it. But what I was alluding to was, and I said after the sound went off, I mean, we talked tennis now on this station for for the better part of 3, 7, 6 hours, but it really isn't tennis. It's as I said, it's the role of the modern athlete, the role of the modern coach, and unfortunately for Louisville, it's where does this, you know, factor into the timeline of unfortunate incidents involving their athletic program? Listen, I'm sure it wasn't particularly pleasant. I think that. If you want to debate whether they should have done it at all, that's fine. But my point is, if they were going to do it, I think that what they did is the best way they could have done it. Because if they didn't, it's going to be, again, conjuring up images of all they've talked about is it's going to be a transparent time going forward. And so if you do what you really believe was the right thing to do, then you need to step up and say, we're doing this because we think it's the right thing to do. Anytime you start disingenuousing, to make my own word up, your way around it, you're going to have a problem. You're going to have a big-time problem. And so, like I said, if you don't think they should have done it, that's your business. If you think it was the right decision, also your business. But the fact is, once they did it, whatever decision they chose to make, they need to be transparent about it. Because if you're not, you create more problems than you solve. And I think, especially in light of everything that's gone on here, that's why I think that what they did made sense in terms of how they handled it. Again, not advocating for or against what they should or shouldn't have done, but understanding how they did it, I think, is consistent with this idea that we're going to be transparent and good for them. I think that's only going to help them. Absolutely think that's only going to help them. Texter says, oh, Jason N. says, go ahead and gloat, Bob. Enjoy your one-week-only lead. Woohoo! In the uninformed Premier League Soccer League, I'm in second place. You can say, well, why am I gloating? Well, because Entz is in third place, the proclaimed soccer expert. But the guy who's winning, what a big week, our pastor's husband. Chris Doyle putting up a first-place spot in the uninformed league, which we just convinced Nick to join, so he's a week behind everybody else. But we have 10 teams typical in the league right now.
Pretty on brand.
I am a point ahead of end, so I am gloating. Absolutely.
I mean, that is actually Pence's team.
I know. Why are you doing that?
I was trying to find a good soccer chant.
Why didn't you play Liverpool's You'll Never Walk Alone?
Maybe it's on here. It's the 10 best soccer chants. Well, that is, what is that thing called where they, like, they pull the little banner down?
Yeah, Ents is probably listening. Go ahead, text him. What's the name of that thing, Ents? I forgot.
Holy crap.
They do it at the Louisville games too.
Okay, pot that down, please. Thank you. Have you seen the documentary Perfect Bid, The Contestant Who Knew Too Much? No, I don't know what that one's about. What's that one about? Is it about Price is Right? No. I do know the one, the guy.
Pressure Luck.
The guy who memorized the pattern of pressure.
He was an
luck.
Ice cream man.
And you know what? I don't begrudge him any of the money because he still had to time it. You know how hard that was to do? Because that thing is moving.
Yeah.
So, and one time he missed it, you know.
They slowed the tape down and he winces because he had two whammies.
He missed it and he managed to escape. But that was incredible.
The show, it was going on after the show went off the air, or after it was going into another show. It went past its allotted time slot, and the network was freaking out because they're like, this guy's not going to stop. Like, he's already up to $100,000, which at that point was like...
What did he do?
Like,
did he finally quit, or how did it ever end?
I don't remember.
I
think he finally just like was like, all right, people are going to get
well,
weird.
He's got to stop, because if he doesn't stop, eventually he's going to lose it. He couldn't go on forever. He missed one time.
Yeah,
I think a ground ball went through Bill Buckner's legs.
I think at that point, he was kind of like, all right, I don't want to blow this. It's getting sketchy enough. Like, I've already won what at that time was like the equivalent of like a $1.5 million prize. I think I'll step away. And then he got sued.
No, he didn't win that much.
Or I forgot.
He won $110,237 in 1984.
But like in the equivalent of like at that time, that amount of money to be won on TV was what? I mean, nowadays they offer $1 million like left and right. But
see, I just always wonder why does it always seem like if somebody does something like this, tragic. He died at 49.
Wasn't he? I'm not like I don't begrudge the dude one bit for like finding. I mean, that was kind of dumb by the Pressure Luck people. To just, you know, have a set pattern.
Well, that's how computer things work generally. You know that.
Yeah, I mean, that's true, but that's fair. But I mean, hindsight, yeah, okay. That is, you know, being Captain Hindsight. But wasn't he kind of like a little bit sketchy,
yes,
too?
Yes, he was. That's the other thing. It always seems like these guys are never like just perfect workers, and then they just happen to, they're always looking for an edge.
But he was an ice cream guy involved
in illegal schemes. As a result of that, he lost all of his winnings within 2 years of the show's taping, moved to Florida, and died of throat cancer at the age of 49.
Oh, it's kind of sad.
Yeah. Part of one game board pattern that Larson memorized. They're showing it. If you go to Wikipedia, it shows where the numbers went. They went.
I think I vaguely remember it.
Position 1 to position 9 to position 4. It's amazing. I got to admit, I tip my hat to that because I'm a guy. You may remember this. You were kind of little. This is one of my most proud and embarrassing moments at the same time. My players at St. Mary's, though, this is the kind of thing that your players can appreciate. There was a game. I don't remember what the name of it was, but you had to roll a ball, and then it went down a little, you know, incline, and then there were slots the ball could go in. And there was a big wheel at the top, and the slots would say full spin or three left or two right or whatever.
Yeah, it was all colorful, too.
You could end the game after your no spin, if it was where you wanted it, you get to stay there. Wherever it ended after your three spins, that's how many tickets you got. And if you could get it to stop on jackpot three straight games, you won the gigantic jackpot that was, you know, building throughout the day. And I played so long, like this guy, I memorized how the wheel would spin off of the full spin roll. So it would go, the first time would go all the way around plus three, then the second time would go all the way around to the left plus two, would go in different directions. And so based on the first roll, I could try to get, you still had to make shots though. That was the thing. It was very hard just because I knew I had to get it in that slot. It wasn't easy to get it in the slot, but I could figure out. And sometimes after two rolls, you were done. There was no way you could get it to that jackpot, and then you just had to throw it and try and get tickets. But I was determined to win the jackpot. It was a mall arcade that was going out of business. So it was there last week. And I played it for 7.5 straight hours.
Proud of you.
And
proud of you.
Won the jackpot. And the kicker to the story is, by that point, I had won so many tickets, and they were almost out of business, I had trouble getting prizes for the tickets. They were like out of ever. And I had to take goofy crap I didn't really
Matt,
want.
Hey, Matt,
Adam
Army Men. What else do you want?
I took a remote control car, was the most expensive. A big one, though. Not one of the little ones. Not like those little, you know, what do they call them, RC things. Yeah. This was a big honking car with a big
you know, controller. I remember bringing it home and you played with it for a little bit, and kids get bored with it. But I bought, I got an armful of stuff and used all my tickets.
Is that the time you got the toaster? No, that was
At River Falls. My toaster oven. I didn't have to take nearly that long. But I was determined to hit this thing, and I played it so long I figured the pattern out. And so that was the same type deal. It was kind of like this. You know, that's how computer mechanized stuff works, is that somebody programs it and you figure out the program. But it's still going to make the shot. That was the killer. I got to two jackpots like 20 times. Couldn't get the third one. Very hard to do. And then you get so sick of the things because all of them have the catchphrases built in. So for 7 hours, I had to hear spin the wheel or you're a winner. So, oh, my God. Yikes. So what did I just say that's worthy of the mixtape?
Probably something about getting it in a slot.
Yeah, there you go. Very nice. Let's see. What's... oh, okay. You should watch Screwball on Netflix. It's really good. It's about A-Rod and the biogenics ordeal. I had no crazy idea how crazy that was. I don't know what that's got to do with what we're talking about, but okay. Worked with a double showcase winner from Price is White. Right, wow. How about that?
Whoa, he won both of them?
Oh, that was the guy. No, yeah, he worked with a double showcase. This guy was a double showcase winner. He was an insurance adjuster working after the earthquake. Every day he worked on claims that valued items shown in the game. So he knew what everything cost.
That's hilarious.
Oh, man. The only item he kept due to taxes was a trip to some Pacific Island. I got to check that. That sounds cool. What's that called? Perfect Bid. It's a great documentary. Guy created a whole database of Price is Right products and would help other contestants win from the audience. Oh, I didn't know that. Ooh, that's no good. Guy says, I like the Wipeout. Yeah, but that seems to be the kind of modern game show where we like to punish the contestants, you know?
I don't know. I mean, it's an obstacle course. All that one is an obstacle course. The only difference is that one has things that are actively trying to kill you.
Well,
I mean, like Ninja Warrior, American Ninja Warrior.
That's different, though. These are guys
that's
that
a
are
full on.
That's a full it's an on. Obstacle you know what you're course. Signing up for.
They know they sign up for Wipeout. People. It's not going to be like, you know. Oh, wait a minute. There's not going to be.
I've contended. An exam? Though, you can tell a lot from the society by how game shows go, and I'm happy the game shows are getting kinder. Because there was this, when I was a kid, the game shows where you watched and you tried to live vicariously through three Joe Jablonskis or Mary Jablonskis who got up there and, hey, look, wow, imagine that's so cool. They won a new refrigerator and living room set and a trip to Cairo. And, oh, that's awesome. And they all played yay and we celebrated. Now the new games were you start with 10 players and each week you humiliate and embarrass one and get rid of them or you vote them off or some way we can be cruel to them. I think they turned down a game where you came at the end of 30 minutes, you just punched a guy right in the throat. They said that's going a little too far. And then eventually there's only one guy left and then that you have to give some prize to, so they give him some sort of prize. But that's about it. But now they've gone back to just having people come up and try and win lots of dough. And it's fun. I'm telling you, I'm a big fan of that spin the wheel thing. That thing is tasty. That's a quality game show. All right, we'll take a short time out. We'll come back. We won't take a short time out. Nick's put one finger up in the air like Sterling Archer does when he is drinking something and somebody's trying to talk to him. Why are you dressed? Is it freezing in there again?
I was very cold, yes. I turned the AC off.
Okay.
Someone had the settings to...
22.
Yeah. I think I'm going to sue you for making me work in these conditions.
Thank you. Okay.
This is 40 degrees in here.
All right. Why did you get all excited about that call?
Oh, it's our friend Softball Dad, Dustin. He's got a couple things, both game show related and AAU related.
Dustin?
Yes. Softball Dad, Dustin.
Softball Dad, Dustin.
That's his first name legally.
S-D-D. Okay. What's up, S-D-D? How you doing?
Well, better than S-T-D.
Yeah, good point. That middle initial is very important. Good point.
Right. My aunt was a high school teacher and got on the Wheel of Fortune.
Oh, nice.
When I was probably in the fifth grade, and she ended up winning it, except on the third day, and Bobby Petrino would appreciate this, you know, where they have to pick the vowels and consonants and all that, the word was nepotism. She missed it.
Oh, no. Rats.
No, I'm not kidding. Yeah. Oh. Anyway.
Well, did she play the modern version where they just gave you money? The very early ones, they used to have a big room filled with prizes, and you had to go. That was the joke. Everybody, no. I'll take the ceramic dog. It was all that. So was she that one or the later
No.
one?
Yeah, she came home with, like, dining room table, grandfather clock.
Nice.
Trip to Hawaii, but they had to pay taxes on everything.
I know.
So they turned down a bunch of stuff.
I know.
And just brought home stuff they wanted. I'm going to agree and disagree with some of your takes on, I would love my 14-year-old daughter to play multiple sports, but she can't, only because either her travel coach is telling her, you know, we've got a commitment in the spring.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan
of that. Now that she's in high school, the high school coach is saying, hey, you're not doing anything until our season's over. So her opportunity to do multiple sports are limited only by the coaches.
I agree, and that's who I'm pointing the finger at. I disagree with all those people who do that. I really do. That's very selfish of them.
Yeah, I mean, she's a true non-shooting point guard that, you know, pisses people off on defense. But, I mean, she's a legit softball player. She could probably run track, but that conflicts with softball. I mean, so we're limited as parents on what we can, you know, coming up through the ranks, what we can do with our children because of the coaches.
Well, I think that's a great shame, and there's two reasons for that. One, I think they prey on fear, much like you used to do. There was a comedian who did a bit about how they sold tires by scaring the crap out of you. They'd have some woman driving on some, you know, back road, and then all of a sudden she's by herself and she has a blowout, and they would say, you know, how do you trust your tires? You know, so, God, I got to go around and buy tires or my wife's going to be killed in some rural back road or something. It's the same thing with this. They tell the parents, how can you say you're really committed to your daughter or son being a good player? You won't even send them to so-and-so tournament or play with the sharpshooters or the laser beams or whatever they are. And I think that's a tremendous, tremendous disservice. It's turned into a billion-dollar industry, youth sports in this country. $1 billion people spending because they're afraid if they don't send their kid, little Johnny up the street's going, and we're going to fall behind him. And I think that's I think that's awful way to do business. I really do. So
I do agree. And now these tire places, you can buy three and get one free, which makes absolutely no sense.
That's, you know, you take the price of the third one, divide it over by the other ones, that's your discount. So they're really selling you four tires at what would that be, a 25% discount? Is that right? I think that's what it is. So anyway, but the other thing is, and here's the bigger problem. I agree with the college coach who said he used to like to go watch the kids that he was recruiting play other sports because you could tell a lot by them that way. And that's what I said earlier, is I don't think they realize the disservice they're doing to their players. Like, you know who I base it on? Cal Ripken. He and his brother used to do a radio show together. I don't know if they still do. And they were talking about, in spring training, they were talking about this very topic. And they believe that the kids should play, you know, multiple sports. And so they were in spring training. They were doing the drill, you know, where you turn double plays. And they had this guy that they didn't even know, but he was, the footwork around second base was unbelievable. And they said to him, my God, who, you know, because they wanted to know, who trained you? Where'd you learn that? He said, it's just, I was a soccer player all throughout high school as well. So all the footwork comes from that. And they said, that's what you learn. You learn different skill sets because you use different body parts. Not to mention, have you read what the reports of the doctors, I think it was the LA Lakers team doctor, by only playing one sport from the time they're like 10, their bodies don't develop properly. They overstress certain parts of their body, and they're triggering all these injuries, and guys are breaking down because those muscles are completely built up, and other ones that you would use in other sports, they haven't used at all. So it's, I think that's a bit of a dangerous thing as well. So I'm sorry that, I hope your daughter could find a way to play some of those other games, but I know it's not going to be easy.
Well, thanks for the time.
All right, appreciate the call. Thank you. Anybody else got a game show story? I like game show stories. Your cousin, you know, your mom's cousin, won on a game called Sale of the Century.
Yeah.
Joe Garagiola, the ex-announcer, was the host of that.
I think she's still, I don't think she has any of the vegetable oil left. But I think she won a bunch of Crisco and a cabinet set. But she
didn't
missed
win Crisco. She won a baby set because Joe Garagiola, I know she won a baby set because she was pregnant.
Oh, that's what it was.
And Joe Garagiola gave her a wink because you had to quickly hit the buzzer. The Sale of the Century was you answered questions and you got like, I mean, it's a really simple premise. You got like $5 or $10 or whatever. And then they would open something up and the curtain or whatever it was, and they would open on display. And it'd be something that obviously would sell for, you know, retail hundreds and hundreds of dollars. And they would give it a price of like $12 or $8 or something. And so you had to be quick because as soon as you hit the buzzer, then they charge you your money, your $12 or $8 or whatever, and you got it. And so he was kind of nodding to her to let her know that it was going to be a nursery. So as soon as the curtain opened, she hit the button and sure it was, if it was, she got all nursery furniture for her $7 or whatever the hell it was. So, greatest game shows of all time. Beat the Clock. I'm surprised that one hasn't come back, because that could be entertaining again. I don't know. The people who had to put these tricks together, if you've never seen it, it was just mundane stuff that they would do in a studio. And they would, it could be like, I don't know, they came up with them. The crew had to invent these cockamamie things, and they would put like, all right, 45 seconds on the clock. It'd be like a string and a ping pong ball attached. You had to swing it. It had to land in like a shot glass. the things they came up with, and many of them were funny to watch. You know, you had to carry an apple in your neck or something. And it was darn entertaining. Hosted, by the way, for a little bit of trivia for you, if you really want trivia. This, by the way, is two bits of trivia here that I think I'm getting way ahead of myself. These should be part of We Want to Know Wednesday, but I'm planting the seed here. One is that the guy who hosted Beat the Clock was actually radio's first Superman. Superman was a radio show before it came to TV show. His name was Bud Collier. And the reason that kryptonite was invented, they had to come up with some way to make him injured or ill, because Bud Collier went to the producers of the show and said, I haven't had a vacation in a year. I'm taking the next 2 weeks off. I don't care what the hell you do, but I am out of here. So they had to come up with a script where Superman was incapacitated for a short bit, and that's how kryptonite came into being. So now you know the rest of the story. All right, let's go to people said what I said was, talking about that we roll the ball, it wasn't easy getting it in that slot. There you go. Starcade, Jeff Edwards. He was a game show host. What does that one say? Starcade, Jeff Edwards, a video game show of the 80s. What is that?
Starcade. No, really? Starcade.
It says Starcade, Jeff Edwards, a video game show of the 80s. What does that mean? I don't know. That's the great. He's nominating as the best game show?
Maybe. I don't remember
seeing that one.
Starcade was a wrestling pay-per-view. That was WCW's WrestleMania.
It must have been a game like you had to play, like the video games, like as part of the game.
I'd be interested in that. Nick Arcade. That was the one like in the late 80s,
you,
maybe
you played
early
like
90s,
arcade games as part of the
90s.
Game show?
No, it was weird. It was like it was both that, but also they like, it was really cool because they quote unquote put the kids in the video game.
But
it was like a green screen.
Yeah, and
they had to try to figure out.
They were like
around
in the game.
Yeah, that was really neat.
It was like that CGI movie with the guy who breaks the internet, which the big strong guy who goes in the video game.
Wreck-It Ralph. Yeah, it was cool how they did it.
See, we make a good team because I never remember anything, and you fill in the blanks for me.
Yes, and I often get distracted.
I was about to attack you because I was talking about Superman, and you just immediately got into a long conversation with Patty Ice. So that was
that had to do with our making sure the advertiser spots played, and they give us money.
Yeah. Speaking of that, you know who gives us money? Our good friends at Genesis Diamonds. And we are happy to take that money, but we're equally happy to tell you about the great situation that they've got going on over there. I was going to say sale, but that's kind of not really a good accurate description, because they always have the best prices. So you would imply that, now you can get the best prices. You always get the best prices. But they are doing something special. Right now, they are giving you an opportunity to get 20% off their already best-in-the-market prices on GIA-certified diamonds. Now, you can't beat that. They already have the best selection. They have the best quality diamonds. And now, through August 25th, all GIA certified diamonds get an additional 20% off. It is their diamond extravaganza. That's a fun word to say, extravaganza. And it's anything that's got an extravaganza on it sounds like it's darned entertaining. So don't miss this chance to get access to diamond prices rarely offered to the general public. These are all the diamonds, not just a few they tucked in a corner somewhere. This is all shapes, rounds, ovals, princess cuts, cushion cuts, pear-shaped, even fancy yellow diamonds. From $1,500 to $500,000, all 20% below their already guaranteed best prices. I don't know how you do better than that. And they got great people over there as well. Tell Wendy we sent you. Tell anybody there we sent you. They'll take care of you anyway. I almost hate saying that because they'll treat you great as they always do. They're non-commissioned sales agents. They're not going to try and upsell you just to get you to spend more money. But I like when you mention us over there because we like them, and I want them to be sure that they like us. It's a great place to shop. Never been disappointed there. You won't be either. Get Genesis guaranteed best prices on all GIA diamonds minus another 20%. It goes only through August 25th, so don't wait. Only at Genesis Diamonds, Shelbyville Road Plaza next to Trader Joe's. Where Louisville gets engaged. What am I doing and what line is who? New York Mike's on one. Your winning streak finally came to an end last night.
Yeah, thanks a lot. You put the Milwaukee on me.
I said I wasn't going to mention it, but of course I laid a couple of shekels down, so you knew that.
Well, you know what we have to do? We're going to put that in the past, and I'm going to make it this Thursday night.
Okay.
And not if, but when the Raiders beat the Packers. Hey, Nick, I'm going to tell him what I'm going to bring. Is that all right with you?
By all means, my friend.
Nick, Bob, when, not if, but when the Raiders win against Green Bay Thursday night, the next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I'm bringing you for the Jimmy V Foundation a whole 300 lottery tickets, $1 ones. They're going to be in plastic, not open.
That would be so entertaining. That would be awesome. That'll be not only will that be hopefully knock wood, generating some money for the fight against cancer, but that'll be fun. Who in their right mind wouldn't want to open up 100, 300 lottery tickets? That's quality.
Well, I asked Nick if it could be you, him, your wife, and he said Jamie won't do it. So I got this homeless guy coming to your house.
I said Jamie was a blackjack
Jamie
guy.
Jamie doesn't watch his step. He may be that homeless guy, so I don't know.
Oh, man. John, no. A guy just got married. He got it rough enough. Leave him alone. you were talking about the Superman?
Yeah.
Now, wasn't this George Reeves, right?
George Reeves was the TV Superman, right, yes.
Yeah, but wasn't his brother Steve Reeves that big Hercules guy?
Steve Reeves was also an actor. I'm not familiar with what he did, but I do know he was an actor.
He was a muscle-bound guy in the Hercules movies.
Is that true?
And in the Samson.
Yes, he was. Steve Reeves was an American bodybuilder and philanthropist. He was made famous in the mid-50s in Italian-made films, playing characters such as Hercules, Goliath, and Sandokan.
No.
Never heard of that, but anyway.
Now, what about Soupy Sales? You remember Soupy Sales?
I do. I got his autograph once at an NIT game. He went to Marshall, believe it or not, was a huge Marshall fan, and Marshall was in the NIT, and he was watching them, and I bothered him during the game, and he yelled at me.
He was in trouble when he was on TV. I saw when he came to the screen and told the little kids to go into their mother and father's pocketbooks and send the money to him. And they did it. You remember that?
Yeah, he said, go into, while your mommy's sleeping, go into her purse and take the little green pieces of paper with the president's pictures on it and send it here. And obviously he was just trying to be funny, and they got a whole bunch of checks sent to the station, and the station had to suspend him for 2 weeks. I'll never forget that. That's a great point.
All right, I'm just going to let you go now, and I'm glad I told you about Thursday night.
Oh, I hope. I'm so excited about that. Now I'm really rooting for the Raiders. Thanks, Mike. By the way, when people like to correct us, it's always a good idea to make sure you know what the hell you're talking about before you correct us. Even though this was not nasty, but a guy says Christopher Reeves, not George. No. The guy who played Superman on television was named George Reeves. And there it is. I'm showing the TV screen right there. There's his picture.
I'm not sure.
There's who he
was.
That
it's an audio medium. I'm not sure.
George Reeves.
Very
tragic. He was died of a gunshot wound. The official finding was suicide. Some believed he was murdered or the victim of an accidental shooting, but he was the Superman in the 1950s television adventure. He died at age 45. George Reeves. So, yes, New York Mike knew of what he spoke, as did I. You were alluding to the movie, which we were not talking about. We were talking about the television show. The next guy up is Plumber Mike. Hello, Mike. What's up?
What's going on, Bobby V?
Oh, Plumber, you typed on the screen Plumber Mike. Take a look at the screen just so I know. I want Dick to see that he typed Plumber Mike. Did you not? You did, right? You did.
Yeah. Okay. Did I say New York Chuck? Did I get him mixed up?
Did Nicky V mess up and not say Plumber Chuck?
He said Plumber. He might have said Plumber Chuck, but we have a little screen here, and he typed Plumber Mike. So I apologize to you on behalf of my son.
I probably typed in New York Chuck, too. My bad. I got it mixed up.
Hey, Nick. Your dad knows who it is anyway, so we'll let you slide on that one.
That's good enough.
Thanks, fellas.
Hey, Bobby. I got a question, and then I'm going to start off with first the Starcade thing with a game show hosted by Jeff Edwards in the early 80s. Had two contestants. They played real arcade video games. They had four on each episode. And at the end of the episode, the guy with the highest score to beat the last machine would have a chance to win their own arcade game. That's the history of that one.
Oh, wow. Okay.
The second thing I got, I worked in the school system for the state. The Rexy Karma thing, you would know more about this than me, but the way we worked was you would take your age plus years of service, and if they added up to, say, 65 or 70, then you would get like a retirement package. And that's what my question to you is, with his service, and how long he's been doing it, do you think he's eligible to retire at his age, or do you know? And I'll hang up and listen. Keep up the good work.
All right, thank you. I have no idea. But, I mean, they're paying him through 2023, so I don't know. I imagine he's got some sort of retirement plan there, so I guess he could get paid until 2023, and then if he wants to start drawing on his retirement, I guess he can, like anybody else. I technically, this makes me laugh every time I say this, but when I left St. Francis in New York, I coached there for four whole years, and when I left, our retirement plan there was called the Tiacref, which still exists. And when I left, the guy said, what do you want to do? And I said, what do you mean, what do you want to do? He said, what do you want? I was going to coach in Europe, so I wasn't going to stay in the educational system then, so it wasn't like I could transfer it. So he said, well, what do you want to do? He said, we can send you a check every year. You could technically retire. I was 30. You can technically retire, and you get a check every year. And so he said, you just go on vacation. So that's what we do. I get a check every year at the end of this month for about $1,000. It's like a residual. So I'm pretty jazzed up about that. So I'm looking forward to it. It varies because of the investments, but it's never gone under like 920, and it's never gone over like 1010. So it's somewhere there. So it's 900, high 900, somewhere around there. It's always exciting when that envelope comes. So I technically am retired, collecting my retirement from St. Francis. That's a pretty good deal, though. Think about that. I've coached there for 4 years. I get $1,000 a year. That was now 32 years ago, so I've gotten like $32,000. And knock wood, I'd like to get another 20 or so. That would be great. I guess it goes until I don't go anymore. So that's very cool. Nick, patronizing New York Mike. How did you patronize New York Mike?
What?
Did I patronize New York Mike?
No, I just said go right ahead, my friend.
I didn't understand that either.
I wasn't trying to be patronizing. I'm sorry, New York Mike. There's certain people you don't
patronize.
No, he didn't
say that. A texter. No, I wouldn't do that either. Very young George Reeves can be seen in one of the early scenes of Gone with the Wind at a party flirting with Miss Scarlet. How about that?
He's actually the carrot.
Huh?
He's the carrot that she eats at the end. I'm just being silly. I think I saw Gone with the Wind when I was a kid, but the only part I remember is she eats the carrot out of the dirt and says she'll never be hungry again. And as a kid, I was like, that's a dirty carrot.
Oh, I get it. No, he was in the beginning. My cousin's family recently went on Family Feud. They told me Steve Harvey was the rudest and the foulest mouthed person they'd ever seen.
But he portrays such a wholesome image. He leads the studio audience in prayer before the show starts.
No comment. We'll take a break. We'll come
I don't
back.
Mind
it's
him
top of the hour.
Swear.
We got to be legal.
If your religious figure does not swear, then quite honestly, can you believe him? You know what I'm saying?
You got a credibility issue with that?
Well, just, you know, I feel like Jesus dropped an F-bomb.
I don't think he did. And now, oh my God, you're really just trying to. Okay, it's 437-9680. Those of you who want to
UPS Jobs text line.
Attack my son. And
Who is the foulest mouth apostle?
No.
Don't say Judas. That's too easy.
Oh my God. Wow. Just going down, veering down the rabbit hole of just nothing good coming out of that. I don't believe.
UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination, online at bluegrasskarting.com.